one of the rock stars that we look to here in the Dallas area as somebody who is doing that is Mr. Raymond Harris, who's going to be our chapel speaker today. He's been in business for 40 years. He's the founder and the president and the chairman, I should say, of Raymond Harris and Associates, which is an architectural firm that has done business all over the country. I believe a lot of work with Walmart and building Walmart stores and so forth. You know, he graduated at the top of his class in college, has extensive experience leading businesses, and also volunteers with a lot of organizations, and both for-profit and non-profit. However, that apparently is not enough of a life for Ray, because in addition to all that, he is an author. He already has one book out called The Heart of Business, and in a matter of weeks or months, he's got a second book coming out called The Love of Business. And both of those are integrations of faith and work. In addition, he's been the executive producer for three movies. As was mentioned, he resides here in Dallas with his wife, Mary Dell. I got to know Ray through the work that we've done together for the last several years on the board at Pine Cove Christian Camps. He's become a good friend and a man that I have immense respect for. Would you please welcome Mr. Raymond Harris?
Well, that's the nicest thing anyone's ever said about me. So, except my family, of course. We know that. It's good morning. It's just certainly a privilege for me to be here, and I want to share with you a little bit about my journey of stewardship. I've entitled this talk "Rich Poor Women," and it's about stewardship in God's kingdom. Is actually upside down to the world's economic system and the value system. And Bill, thank you so much for your introduction. You know, our firm is quite famous. Actually, I'm very famous. I didn't know if you knew that. In fact, everyone in this room has been in a building we've either designed or remodeled. Anyone been in a Walmart? Let me see the hands, come on. Okay, let me ask you, anyone not been in a Walmart? All right, good. Well, as we're unusual because as one of the most prolific architects, we're relatively unknown. And it's just been a real privilege to work for the world's largest client for now for over 30 years. But there's no doubt in my mind that God has chosen to bless our firm. I could take the credit, but I realize that God has chosen us for a greater purpose. You know, if we're not careful, we could take credit for what we've accomplished. We have a tendency to think we're a big deal. But, you know, God gives men and women their abilities and their wealth. I can't explain why he selected us. I really can't. But I know that we have an important part to play in God's kingdom. I'm convinced it's to glorify him by being a steward. So, today's chapel could be a real yawner for a lot of you, talking about money, stewardship. But if you will, just daydream with me. Just daydream for just a few minutes. Visualize heaven. Imagine for just a moment what it would be like to be a portfolio manager of many cities. Imagine the common streets that are paved with just the common material of gold. Can you imagine the gleaming cities bustling with commercial activity, the multitudes of people serving one another as they're working? Can you imagine the large plantations that are just producing the best of crops? And can you imagine the storehouses, the warehouses that are storing rain? Well, that's not a good thing right now, but rain and snow and even sunshine. I can only imagine what heaven is like. Well, to be a property manager, we must become good stewards while we're on earth, though. The trial run for faithfulness is right now. There may be a high risk today of total commitment, but oh, think of the great reward later. You know, God has given us a privileged opportunity to work in his kingdom, and we become stewards of what God has entrusted to us not others. By God's design and our own human nature, we work for rewards, don't we? In the parables about stewardship, it's always a reward. And for me, that's a motivation to succeed. You see, our ministry and employment opportunities give us the wonderful privilege of working in God's kingdom while we're on earth. Now, don't come back to earth yet. Still visualize heaven with me, if you will. And I'd like to share with you a few stories out of the Gospels. These are stories of rich, poor women, faithful stewards who are immortalized in God's eternal word, walking on the streets of gold right now, managing a portfolio of cities. Three common women. Jesus honored women, common women, and used their examples for me to follow, for you to follow, in our stewardship journey on earth. You know, in learning these stories about these women, that I realized three really important things are real ahas for me. One is that the amount in God's kingdom is not an issue. Number two, our generosity must be extravagant, and God longs for our heart. You see, in the spirit of faithfulness, a little poor widow went up to the temple and placed in the offering two small coins in the temple treasury. You remember that story, don't you? You know, Jesus was watching. He immortalized this woman in Scripture by saying that she gave more than all the others. In the kingdom, no one could have given more than this widow. You see, Jesus commended this widow for her faithful generosity, not because of the amount she gave. She gave more than all the rich guys that were standing around who put in large sums of money. In fact, the widow's two coins was worth, and I'm not a scholar, but it says 1/128th of a day's wage in my Bible I was looking at. And I thought, well, how much is that? So I did a little calculation in Dallas, and that's 63 cents. But these coins were all she had. Doesn't Jesus have a flair for striking at the heart? There are very few examples greater of extravagant generosity than the anointing of Jesus with an alabaster jar of very expensive perfume. In all four Gospels, there's a woman that's anointed Jesus. One used perfume costing a year's wage, probably around $20,000 in Dallas economy. In one account, the woman broke the flask so that it wouldn't be used again, just to honor Jesus. She poured the perfume on his head while he reclined at dinner, anointing his body before his death and for his burial. She may not have ever realized the significance of what she was doing at the time, but this extreme generosity was an act of worship that we all know about today. You know, another woman, broken, known for her sin, she performed an extraordinary act of humility. She wept at the feet of Jesus, wiped his feet with her hair after she thoroughly soaked them with her tears. You see, she was grateful. Kissing and anointing his feet, what extraordinary humility and the giving of her essence. You see, these women gave their heart, whether it was just two coins or 63 cents, or I wish I had a year's worth of wages in my pocket, I'd throw it up and give it to Dr. Bailey right now. You hear that? Anyway, it was from the heart of the faithful and generous and humble steward these women gave everything to Jesus. It's truly upside down to their world then and to our world today. You know, we own nothing. We really don't. You see, today we tend to value the big donor, Doug, Kim. those that have great resources and they simply peel off a little bit to our causes, kind of like the guys at the temple. But I believe that Jesus looks through it through the lens of the faithful and the humble heart. After all, he owns everything, and we're just merely caretakers and what we've been entrusted. You know, I'm sorry I got a little emotional there, but I just love these examples of Scripture to remind us of what's truly important in God's kingdom. You know, we own nothing in God's kingdom. We're just merely given the privilege to manage while we're on earth. If we could just look behind the curtain and see what's really important. You know, a few men, I've met very few men that actually daydream in heaven. Y'all still daydreaming with me? Nobody's back in reality yet, right? Okay. I've met very few men that truly daydream in heaven and live in eternity while they're on earth. You see, most of us give lip service to the fact, not out of defiance, but just out of our casual belief. We struggle to live out our belief, otherwise we would be doing things that are really important for eternity, wouldn't we? You see, heaven is simply a destination, but eternity is a lifestyle. If we only understand what's important in eternity, wouldn't we just logically just be doing that? It's only while we're on earth that we have the opportunity to be the hands and feet of Christ to a dying world. Now that's stewardship. It's not about money, it's about your essence, it's about your heart. So do we really believe that we live in eternity? Well, as Paul said in Colossians 3, he said, set your minds on the things above and not on the things on earth. Now at this point, I have to ask myself two questions. If I really believe that I'm an eternal creature in God's kingdom, do I really believe that? Well, two questions I had to ask myself. How do I know if I'm a faithful steward? And secondly, what's kingdom currency? What's the transfer mechanism? Well, let's look at these women as an example. Everything was available for the kingdom, no matter the amount. Nothing was saved, stashed away, hoarded, or stewarded for retirement, for some of you old guys over here. Whether it was just two copper coins of the widow or a year's wage of the perfume, or if it was the soul essence of the broken woman. It was everything. It was her total dedication. Again, we own nothing in God's kingdom. So what's kingdom currency? Well, I've been racking my brain for a couple years now, trying to determine what's God's currency? What's he use? On earth, we know that God owns all the gold and the silver, and we know that all the monetary systems are based upon that. How many in here are international students? Just raise your hand. Okay. How many have had to exchange your money at the airport? Raise your hands. Okay. Well, the American dollar probably works in every country that we're from, right? But the Zimbabwe Zim doesn't go very far. Is there anyone here from Zimbabwe? Anyone here from East Africa? Okay, well, I'm out of luck. All right. So goes that example. But what I have here is a $50 trillion Zim. Yeah, it's a real currency, and it was printed in 2008, and I think they went out of business shortly thereafter. This is worthless today. It's totally worthless. But in God's kingdom, what currency will transfer to heaven? Well, I propose that it's measured in stewardship. What do we have on earth that we can exchange for kingdom currency? Well, I think it's the faithful stewardship of God's assets that we're entrusted. In preparing this message, I had to be honest with myself. I had to ask myself, okay, you're going to talk big time on stewardship. You're going to talk about the widow. Are you like the widow at the temple? Have you put in everything? Guess what? I'm more like the rich young ruler. You know, in Mark 10, 17 through 30, bear with me, I'll read a little bit here. A rich ruler was brought to a decision whether he'd give his assets to the poor. Jesus started on his way, and a man ran up to him and fell down on his knees before him. Good teacher, he said, what must I do to have eternal life? And you'll note in Mark's account that he fell down on his knees and beseeched the Lord, and the Lord looked down and loved him. Well, isn't that interesting how the Lord had affection for this young man? Jesus said, simply follow the commandments. The rich man said, hey, I've been doing that since I was a little boy. Now, it's only my speculation. It's just my interpretation and speculation. He might have been rich because he followed God's commands. I'm not sure, but I'm just saying that. But then Jesus did he said, just one thing you lack. There's just one thing for you to be perfect, complete, mature. He said, give your possessions to the poor. Hey, you'll have treasures in heaven, and simply come follow me. Now, I'm not sure, and I don't think any of us are really sure what this rich man did. Jesus didn't ask him to become poor. He just simply asked him to give to the poor, right? This young ruler had to walk away thinking about a decision of a lifetime. You see, put yourself this morning in his position. If you were asked to put everything on the table today, everything of value, your car, your relationships, everything that you hold dear, would you be willing to do that right now before you walked out of the room? Well, just like the rich young ruler, I've had to face that decision, whether I'd be totally committed. It's not a maturity issue for me, it's a heart issue for me. The amount requested by Jesus was the same that the widow gave in the temple. You know, as a rich young ruler myself, I want to have the courage to be faithful like the temple widow. I want to be extravagantly generous like the woman that anointed Jesus with costly perfume. I want to be broken and humble like the woman that kissed and anointed Jesus' feet with her tears. But each of us can be like this widow or the sinful woman or even Mary who lavished Jesus with perfume. Each of us has something to give. You know, it might be great causes like the education you've gotten here at DTS. So you might want to share for others to follow in your footsteps in the future. It could be taking care of the poor. I believe that there's a sure way to know if you want to store your treasures in heaven is to give to the poor. One thing, though, that we all must do is to separate our heart from our money, just as the struggle of the rich young ruler. I sense that I personally don't have a lot of time left. I have a sense of urgency, so I look for opportunities to steward in the kingdom. I don't want to miss something. I don't want to stand before Jesus and say, oh, I could have done one other thing. I'd like to encourage everyone here to ask God, where does he want his assets to go? And then just be obedient. I'd like to conclude with a somewhat awkward story, kind of like my choking up and my, you know, my emotion. I'm sorry, but I'd like to share with you an awkward story that happened several years ago. I was trying to deliver a message in China at a large church in Beijing. And as I was talking, I felt a real heaviness come over me. And then I felt an oppression come on me as I was talking. Finally, I had to stop in the middle of my talk. I couldn't continue. I didn't even finish. Kind of embarrassing. But I simply looked at the congregation and out I blurted, put all your chips on the table and push them towards Jesus. It's worth the risk. You know, I quickly exited the platform. I actually left the building quickly. I just felt this oppression on me. And the guy that took me there escorted me out quickly. And he said, boy, that was weird. But, you know, in reality, it's the essence of what I'm trying to say this morning. Finally, all of us in this room are rich. If we don't think we are, just think of all the wonderful things that God has entrusted to us. What an opportunity and a privilege to serve as the hands of Christ in this broken world. Yes, we are all rich men and women in this room. And may God give us the courage to be faithful and brave as a poor widow. May we become humble as a sinful woman who wiped Jesus' feet with her hair, and joyful and extravagant as the dear one that anointed Jesus for his burial. I ask that the Lord bless each of you as you exchange your assets for kingdom currency. And I'm going to see you on the streets of gold. Now, come back to reality and go back to class. Thanks.